We continue our studies in Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, verses 1 through 16. After a three-year period of being hidden away from public view, first by the brook Cherith, and then at Zarephath, Elijah was brought back into the spotlight. When he first appeared before the throne of King Ahab and announced the drought, he was a man of faith. However, as he passed through the trials of the dry brook, the empty meal barrel, and the dead son, Elijah was transformed into a man of God. Elijah had gone from being a man of faith into now a man of God. He is a man that is wholly dedicated to the Lord God. As he re-enters the public eye, Elijah's first encounter is with a fellow believer by the name of Obadiah. While both are believers, the contrast between these men is striking. Elijah is seen to be a faithful servant of God, while Obadiah is pictured as a mere hireling, a gun for hire, so to speak. That is, one who gives lip service to God, but by his life, he denies the God he claims to serve. Sadly, there are many people like Obadiah in the modern church. People who talk about being saved and who claim to love the Lord, but who by the lives they live deny him. Their actions betray their beliefs. They deny the Lord by their lives. They deny his power, and they deny his presence in their lives. Of course, this is as Paul said it would be in the last days. In 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, having a form of godliness. They talk the talk, but not necessarily walk the walk. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. But the good news is, it does not have to remain that way. If you're hearing this message today, and if you would be as Obadiah, there's no need to remain in that place. I would like for us to listen in on one of the encounters between Elijah and Obadiah. In this passage, we will meet a hireling and a servant. In fact, we may even meet ourselves today. If we find that we are more like Obadiah than we are like Elijah, may God give us grace to change today. Let us look a little deeper at two kinds of men, a hireling and a servant. In verses 1 and 2 of 1 Kings 18, we see the prophet Elijah spoken of. And it came to pass, After many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. After all this time, Elijah was still serving the Lord, through the trials, through the temptations, through the hardships, through the place of being cut off, through Zarephath to the place of affliction, the furnace of affliction. All the trials, all the difficulties he's had to endure has not dulled his sense of service to God Almighty. They have not made him feel as though God has let him down. Do you feel as if God has let you down? Matter of fact, with Elijah, it's just the opposite. Elijah has been honed by his afflictions. He's been shaped by his afflictions. He's been trained by his afflictions into an instrument of power and ability. He is still serving God and is more than ready for the task that lies ahead. This is a man that is committed to serving God with his whole being. He is all in. He could say, as the apostle said, "For me to live is Christ." Surely we have learned by now that God allows the trials to come into our lives so that he might help us to grow into the image of Jesus Christ. We find in Romans 8:28, the promise from God, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. God is working all things together for good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. We're being conformed into the image of Christ. Verse 29 of that same Romans says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." All the trials, all the temptations, all the hardships, all the heartaches is to conform us into the image of his Son. Conformed into the image of his glorious Son. In Ephesians 4:13, we see a very similar to that. Ephesians 4, verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We are all in the process of coming into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. The Lord is pruning us, training us, causing us to grow. When the trials of life come, we can respond in one of two ways. We can allow the trials to bring us closer to God, or we can allow the trials to drive us away from God. Brother, sister, what will it be today? Will the trials, the hardships, the heartaches draw you closer to God? Or will the trials drive you away from God? May the Lord help us to be like Elijah, who walked through the valley and came out on the other side, still praising the name of the Lord. Will you still praise the Lord? Will you still adore him? Will you still worship him? Or will you fall? Will you crack under the pressure of this life? You're being conformed into the image of Christ, either driving you closer, the trials driving you closer to God, or driving you away from God. Some people just need to get it settled in their hearts, who they really serve. Who do you really serve? Do you serve our God? Do you serve Jesus Christ in spite of the circumstances and the temptations and all the things that has happened in your life and is happening in your life? Have you settled it in your heart? "For me to live is Christ." Even as Job said, "Even if he slay me." You have to come to that place in your heart. You have to settle that in your heart. Sadly, many are in love with their self more so than they are with the Savior. Who is the Lord of your life? Can you honestly say this morning, can you honestly say today that God is in control? Or would you have to admit that for the most part, you call the shots in your life? Who is in charge of your life? Who is the king of your life? Who is the commander in chief of your life? The command from God is for Elijah to come out of hiding and to present himself to his arch enemy, Ahab. For Elijah, this must have been a very difficult command than the one to hide himself, as we saw in 1 Kings 17, verse 3. "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." It must have been a lot easier for Elijah to go hide at the brook than it was to show himself once again to Ahab. The nation of Israel had been in a drought for over 3 years. Thousands have died as a result. Starvation is rampant. Poverty is all around. People are angry. And Elijah is the man who God used to announce this drought. The call to hide himself came at a time when the flesh wanted to show itself. The command to show thyself came when there was every reason not to want to. If I were Elijah, I'd want to stay in seclusion for just a little while longer, Lord. Maybe just a little while longer. Yet God's command to Elijah was to show yourself. It has already been stated in previous messages, but it bears repeating this morning. There are times when God's commands just don't make sense from a human perspective. Let me just remind you that God's ways are not our ways. Once again, I'll remind you of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we were in the position to figure God out, he wouldn't be much of a God. What God do you have in your mind? What God have you fashioned in your mind outside of the scripture? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He does his way. He does things his way and not our way. We have learned over the years that when you can't trace God, you just trust him. You can't figure him out. You can't always trace him. He hides himself to cause us to trust him. He knows what he's doing. Will you not trust the Lord? Elijah may not know all the details, but he is reminded that God is still in control. God promises Elijah that he will present himself to Ahab, that rain will come again. Basically, God is telling Elijah, things are going to work out. Things are going to work out. That is the word for you today, brother. The word for you today, sister. Things are going to work out. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do. Things are going to work out. Now, that's good news, brother. That's good news, sister. That's good news for me. Things are going to work out, Bill. Again, I will say that we do not always know what God is doing. However, when God gives a command, he is ready with whatever provisions are necessary to see that you're able to carry it out. Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. Whatever provisions are necessary, God is able to provide. God's commands are always accompanied by God's provisions. When he commands, he provides. When you're in the military provides for you. Regardless of how large or how impossible the task may seem, God is always there and he is ready with his promise of victory and of provision. God has promised us. If you would believe that all things are possible. Now that verse is either true or it isn't. Jesus Christ spoke those words. All things are possible to him who believes. That either means that or it doesn't. You can't relegate that verse away and throw it away. Say, well, I'll cut it out of my Bible. I'll rip it out. You'll either believe it or it don't. All things are possible to him who believes. God provides. He provided for Abraham in Genesis. He provided for Moses in Exodus. He provides for his disciples in the book of Matthew. When God leads, he always promises his provision and his presence. He promises, he provides his presence. He will not leave us out there alone. Like I said, what God do you have in your mind? Will you not trust your heavenly Father? What kind of a father do you think that he is? Notice, Elijah's response reveals his heart for God. See, that's when you really see what you're made out of. When the pressure's on, when the screws are being tightened in your life, it really reveals your heart for God. Elijah didn't need all the details. He just needed God to give him a command, and he was ready to obey. When you read the commands in the scripture, are you willing to obey? Or do you start making the excuses? Elijah's obedience to the Father sets the standard that all of God's children should strive to reach. None of us are perfect at obeying the commands of the Lord. None of us have reached perfection. But is it your heart's desire to obey the Father? When you see the commands in Scripture, when you're praying and the Lord is revealing to you what you must do, will you obey Him? Or is it always, but, you don't understand, and excuse after excuse after excuse? Elijah's obedience to the Father sets the standard that all of God's children should strive to reach. This is why I say that Elijah is surrendered to the Lord. Surrender doesn't mean you're completely surrendered, but that's your disposition, that's your heart's desire. You want to please the Father. You want to do what's right. Even as Christ. Christ is dwelling inside you now. What else would you possibly expect? Christ in the garden knows he's going to die. And he says, Father, nevertheless, your will be done. What do you think is possibly going to happen in your life? When the same one that said those words now dwells in you by the Holy Spirit, he's going to want to obey the Father. He's going to cause you, push you to obey the Father, turn your will to obey the Father. When God speaks, Elijah moves. Elijah does not object. He doesn't point out the difficulties or try to reason with God. See, that's what we do. We try to reason with Him. Point out the difficulties, why it can't happen, why it can't take place. Then why does Christ say, and to the one who believes, all things are possible? He calls you to believe. When God speaks, Elijah moves. What a lesson that is for us. God's call is enough to spur the prophet into action. When God calls you, you get up and you do what He called you to do. And you don't make excuses. It's that simple. It's very simple. We have to stop pointing out the difficulties and stop trying to reason with God why we can't. Did you know that nothing reveals the truth of our love for God any more clearly than our obedience to Him? You can say what you want. You can say all the doctrines that you understand, all that you believe. You can dot all your I's and cross all your T's and say you believe this and the Lord's doing this and the Lord did that. But your heart, the truth of your love for God is revealed in your obedience to Him. We can say anything we wish to say, but we prove that we love the Lord when we cheerfully obey the commands that He has given us. Look at John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's Jesus Christ speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice, these are Christ's commandments. We're in the new covenant. We're in the new covenant. We follow the commands of Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Father told the disciples to hear Him, hear His Son, hear what Jesus Christ commands. And Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In fact, obedience to the Lord's commands carries with it a special promise. In that same John 14, look down at verse 21. He who has my commandments, and notice once again, this is Christ speaking. You talk about the authority of Christ, the glory of Christ, the majesty of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, that Christ is all. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Notice, his commandments. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, notice, and manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. I will reveal myself to him. Did you ever think that maybe why you feel such a distance from God is because you haven't made the decision in your heart to, as much that is humanly possible, to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. What do your actions reveal about your heart? You say you love the Lord. Do you obey the Lord? It is your purpose in life to obey his commandments, to love him. What do your actions reveal about your heart? What does your obedience say about your love for the Lord God today? Elijah was a man surrendered to God. When God's command came, he responded by faith. When he didn't understand, and most times we don't understand, Elijah simply obeyed. We must simply obey. This is the kind of heart and attitude that God is seeking. This is the kind of life that God can and God will bless. I will remind you in 1 Kings 18, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Notice the command. Go, present yourself to Ahab, notice, and I will send rain on the earth. I will provide. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Notice, God says, go and present, and Elijah went and presented himself. Will you today go and present yourself? God has commanded. Christ has commanded, if you love me, keep my commandments. Go now. Go and present yourself. Go and present yourself to God daily, even as it says in Romans 12. I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, to present your body a living sacrifice. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans. We're to go and to present ourselves, our whole being, everything, mind, soul, heart, feet, hands, eyes, ears, everything about us, our total being. Paul tells us that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. And I would urge you, I would beg with you, and I would plead with you today in love that you present your body even as Elijah presented his body. God told them to go and present, and Elijah went and presented.